levels of the U.S. government. The appeal of such words has never waned among mass media and officials in Washington, as the U.S. simultaneously touts itself as the main virtuous star on the world stage and a country simply trying to protect itself from malevolence. Leaders in Washington don't want the sun set on the U.S. empire, but China and many other nations have other ideas. This week, news of Nancy Pelosi's intention to visit Taiwan in August was greeted with cheers from the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, which wrote that she deserved kudos for planning what would be the first trip to the island democracy by a House Speaker in 25 years. At midweek, President Biden expressed concern about the planned trip, saying, "I think that the military thinks it's not a good idea right now, but I don't know what the status of it is." However, his team's overall approach is confrontational, risking a potentially catastrophic war with nuclear-armed China. Despite dire warnings from many analysts, U.S. geopolitical stance toward China is reflexively and dangerously zero-sum. Iran's government adhered to the nuclear deal enacted in 2015, formerly known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or JCPOA. But the Trump administration pulled out of the pact. Rather than swiftly move to rejoin it, the Biden administration has dithered and thrown roadblocks. 2 weeks ago, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken disingenuously announced, "We are imposing sanctions on Iranian petroleum and petrochemical producers, transporters, and front companies." In response, Quincy Institute Executive Vice President Trita Parsi tweeted, "Biden is continuing and embracing Trump's max pressure policy, while expecting a different result. All of this could have been avoided if Biden just returned to the JCPOA via X order. When an executive order, as he did to reverse President Trump's withdrawal of the U.S. from the Paris Climate Accord and the World Health Organization. What continues, with countless instances of repetition compulsion, is the proclaimed vision of the United States of America leading the charge against the world's badness. Beneath the veneer of goodness, however, systematic hypocrisy and opportunistic cruelty persist on a massive scale." A case in point is Biden's recent journey to the West Asia region. The presidential trip's prominent features included fist-bumping with a Saudi monarch whose government has caused a quarter million deaths and vast misery with its war on Yemen, and voicing fervent support for the Zionist regime as it continues to impose apartheid on the Palestinian people. American leaders, they insist that an inexhaustible supply of adversaries is bent on harming the United States, which must not run away from forceful engagement with the world. But the actual U.S. agenda is to run the world.
Back to reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, sisters and brothers. This is Asma, and I have the privilege to be your host for today's discussion. Well, here with me, I have two very dear and credible guests, Sister Zainab and Brother Muzaffar. It's been so long since the last time I met you two, and today I am over pleased to have you both in one picture. Okay, ladies, first I will start with you, Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum, and alaykum, how are you doing?
Assalam. Thank you so much.
I'm very glad.
I'm doing great, alhamdulillah.
Thank God.
Totally psyched to be here with you guys.
So pleasure to be with you. And you, brother, assalamu alaikum, and how's life?
Wa alaikum salam. Life is good, alhamdulillah. And I'm here after such a long time.
And it's great to be back. Great to be with you.
Thanks for having me.
So, just as the ritual of this program, I would love you two to give me a very short introduction about yourself. And let's start with you, Brother Muzaffar.
Yeah, so I'm Muzaffar Haider. Mm-hmm. I'm born and raised in the UK. I'm studying in the Hausa. And now I occasionally show up at IRIB English Radio and discuss some interesting topics with you.
Of topics.
Of course. And you, sister?
I'm Zainab. I'm a student of philosophy.
Philosophy is very interesting, though. So there are certain sort of things and perhaps activities, I don't know, skills that when we want to go and plunge into them, then we think that, okay, it's too late. It's not any longer for me. I cannot do it. And then people come with this very nice motto and they tell you, no, it's never late for anything. You can do everything at any time that you wish for. Mm-hmm. But it seems a little bit of problematic. Don't you think so?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at your salah, for example, you mm-hmm. want to pray your prayers, it might be late.
Yeah.
You know, you want to read Maghrib and it's already Fajr time. Mm-hmm. It's too late to read Maghrib. But at the same time, although
there are some certain things that have some certain time.
Yeah.
There's a timing for everything. But then again, it all depends on perspective.
Objective. Okay.
Like even the Salah thing, right? Mm-hmm. From the perspective you defined it, like...
It's never too late to read your Salah prayers.
It's never too late to start Salating.
Unless you're dead.
Unless you're dead, exactly.
That's too late.
That's like hella too late for anything at this point except for decomposing, basically. Yeah.
It's never too late to get married, for example.
Yes,
I actually believe in that. Even if you're 90... Love is still out there.
Great time for marriage.
I believe in that. I really, really believe in that. But is 90 a good age to have a child? No, I believe it's too late. No.
Well, you could do the test tube baby thing.
But you can't even take care of yourself anymore, bruh. How are you going to raise a child?
Poor the child.
Loads of grandchildren who could look after my child. Why would I need to do it?
Okay, so that's what I meant.
Tomorrow.
So that little child is miserable. Why should I do that to him or her?
Brother Muzaffar, that's what I meant about objective. What were we saying? Like having a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're 90, it's no longer the time for you to have a child because I was talking about, I don't know if you guys agreed with me or not, perspective and objective. What's the objective of having a child at the age of 90 anymore?
Yes.
The child cannot bond with that parent. The child cannot relate to that parent.
They would
not
have enough of those parents.
Yes, and they would not have enough of that parent. That is so important.
Yeah.
The mental, psychological needs of that child will no longer be met by a 90-year-old, borderline senile.
That's fine. I've got a great grandchild who's old enough to pretend to be that child's father.
What's the objective of... My point is, you know, the objective, the self-growth that comes with having children, the sense of selflessness, sacrifice, serving a greater objective, stepping out of your ego in order to serve another creation of Allah, all of those objectives are now out of the window.
Yeah. Let's go for a little break. We'll be back in no time. Dear audience, stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
So, welcome back to your audience. This is Arab English Radio. We are having a discussion in your Back to Reality.
So it is too late sometimes for something.
Like, definitely. What about education?
Never. There's a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min al-mahdi ila al-lah, right? From your cradle to your grave, go and acquire knowledge. It's never too late anymore.
There's actually a really beautiful story of this great scholar who, towards the end, he was like learning his entire time, studying. So he gets really old. He's like literally on his deathbed, right? And he discovers an entire new library.
Mashallah.
Like a brand new library. But this library is in a totally different language. The guy starts learning the language.
To be able to
And so his
language.
Yeah. Beautiful. And his students come to him and they go, why are you doing? You're like, you're going to die tomorrow. You're like 90 something. And he goes, well, you know, he expressed these same sentiments about studying from the cradle to the grave. It's an act of worship.
So except for education, I guess, time's sometimes late, too late for many things.
Because even then, I would argue that you need to study at least the core basics at the prime of your life when you're young. As well, you know, because there are also a hadith
in order to make use of them, to
practice because
them.
There's a hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. He says that, look, when a youth learns, it's as if he's a sponge absorbing everything. But learning later on in life, when we're old people, is like trying to write on water.
Yeah.
That's really scary.
It is.
Oh, man. That's
but then if you've trained yourself to learn all your life, your mind is more receptive to knowledge and information.
That's
but then
true.
Again, there is that whole thing of some basic knowledge was meant to be acquired at the basic age of your life.
I'd say that those who are good at learning, even when they are old people, are those who were exceptional at striving for knowledge when they were younger.
Mm. Well, and something, I guess it's in the nature of human beings. We leave things for a time which is very late and then use this quotation in order to soothe ourselves. Because sometimes, for example, if you talk to a person who's been doing a sin constantly, then you ask them, why don't you go back to God and why don't you go for repentance? And then they would answer you this way, that, okay, I'm young right now. I have plenty much of time. I could do it in any time that would come. It's never too late.
It's
I
so
can
good
do
that
it.
You pointed this out. Repentance, one of those things that it's never too late to do. It's never too late to repent.
Yeah, you're right. But then at the same time, don't we have verses or sayings where it says, al-an, like you're repenting now?
The
now
quicker
that you've
you
seen
do it,
the
doesn't say, I won't accept it.
No.
Exactly.
He doesn't. You're right.
He just says, now? Yeah. Really? For sure?
Even that what the heck is like, you know, it's showing that it's a little bit late. But I mean, if Allah...
So I should consider this. I just wanted to point out this very point that we are not immortals. There is no guarantee that I would see tomorrow. Mm. Maybe today that I'm doing that sin and I'm so happy that, okay, it's not too late. I would have time to do it the other days. I would not even see the other day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
I have to say this now. In Greater Sins, this hadith is recorded. It's really, really beautiful. There's this guy on the Day of Judgment. You know, they're all commanded to go towards the hellfire, and they're all, you know, really, really reluctant. Obviously, clearly, they don't want to go into the hellfire, and they're very, very terrified of it. There's this one guy who, as soon as he's commanded to jump into the hellfire, he runs, he sprints towards it, and he just throws himself in. And then Allah saves him and says, why did you just do that? And he says, now, after witnessing your glory and your greatness, I just once in my existence wanted to obey you.
Listen to you.
And for this, Allah says, you're going to Jannah.
It's never too late to repent, because that's the point. Back to objective. The objective of creation is for us to return to Allah. And Allah seizes every chance, opportunity, excuse, every window.
See, talking about opportunity. We shouldn't let go of those opportunities and believe that, okay, there is time for me.
Yeah, of course. Amir al-Mu'minin,
Ali alayhi salam,
says that.
You should seize them.
Opportunities
all the
are
opportunities.
Like clouds in the sky.
Exactly.
The thing about clouds is that they're so swift and they're so quiet.
They're not going to stand
right?
there forever.
You lift your head one more time and you're like, where did that lion-shaped cloud
It's gone.
It's gone, exactly.
Yeah, it's gone.
What else is it never too late to do? So we covered repentance, education.
Unfortunately, it's never too late to do the dishes.
Marriage, find love.
Yeah.
It's never too late to do
certain
the dishes.
Chores. They never go away.
Yeah.
They're just always there until you do them or die.
About that dishes thing, there's a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it's makruh. It's not recommended to leave the dishes undone in the sink, nor the garbage left at night in the house, or the clothes unwashed. Because even the clothes have tasbih, and when they're dirtified, they can no longer praise Allah, and that bums them out.
And in doing
am I the only person
things,
who does this occasionally? Can we not make this about me, like, leaving the dishes overnight and...
No, man, you're a father of two. It's totally fine.
Three.
So also we have that hadith which says you should hurry up in doing the good deeds. You should seize the opportunities for doing some good deeds. Yeah, khayr al-amal.
I think there's a hadith from Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. His Eminence says that a good deed you did not rush into doing is like you haven't done it at all.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. There's also another hadith which says that you'll get two rewards. One
Beautiful.
For rushing towards it and one for actually doing
Beautiful.
It.
Beautiful.
And then there's, you know, the adhan itself. Hayya ala al-falah. You know, rush towards sowing the seeds. Because you're sowing the seeds for the hereafter, right? They're going to grow into trees and plants and,
Hopefully.
And
That's
metaphorically
very nice.
Speaking. But, you know, you're supposed to rush towards good deeds.
Exactly.
And you're supposed to postpone and delay evil deeds.
Exactly. You have to grab the opportunities and make the best out of them. So we can't say that it's
something else
it's
is never,
never late.
Too late. Picking up a new hobby. It's never too late. Unless it's a hobby that might actually put your hip out. Because you're an elderly
person.
Yeah,
but I guess sometimes some special sort of hobbies have some certain age.
Guys, yeah, hobbies that would put your hip out.
In case there's like really old people listening.
Like, which I doubt. Who would listen to three, you know, not even 35-year-old greenhorns?
Like, I don't know, somebody who likes to complain a lot. These youths think they know everything. Lecturing me, change the channel, you know, but there should be some things that they're not, because I think that whole category, when we're old, a lot of things are going to, it's going to be too, I can't start surfboarding anymore when I'm 70.
I know. Hobbies that put your
Yeah, I know. So I'm just saying, like, what is it not too late to do
painting.
When you're old?
Painting. Picking up a new instrument, painting, drawing, coloring.
No. Your hands, then they would shake and
no,
you can do
right.
painting.
It's all right.
Except some
it's
special
art
sort
is
of
art,
paintings.
Sweetie. It's art. That's the beauty
yes,
of art.
Art is
That's
beautiful.
Why I think I specified it to this field. Or like pottery. You
pottery,
know?
Yeah.
Gardening.
Mm. Gardening, yes.
Yeah,
all
gardening
of these are
is
hobbies
very
that you can do when you're even older. But for our
So it's
age,
never too late to plant a tree or a flower.
I think that's an expression too. And also, if we are really considering our actual audiences and not their grandparents, our audiences are within the age range that it's still not too late for them to do anything.
Yeah, guys, it's
Whether
not
it's
too late.
Marriage or a child or
but,
a hobby or
but,
education
but,
or a degree or change your career, do it.
Yes,
Repentance,
do it and don't let it be too late.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't let yourself to go cross that bridge in which you're going to say, okay, it's too late.
Yeah, I'm done with life now.
Yeah.
But then I feel like that bridge is becoming closer and closer as the generations
really
goes forth,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, of course. Okay, so my dear audience, we were speaking of the fact that it's never too late, but have it in your mind that sometimes it really is too late. So do not let things for the last moments where there is no more of time for you. Do it at the time you feel you have to do it. And thank you for listening.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي التي ما رايزك لتصي دليلتك وانس
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Israel has a history of either attempting to or conducting acts of terrorism in Iran, but more often than not, Tehran successfully discovers and prevents such attacks. On Saturday, Iran's intelligence ministry issued a statement saying that members of a terrorist group affiliated with Mossad were identified and arrested by Iranian security forces before they could take any action to carry out acts of sabotage. The ministry added that terrorists who were in contact with Mossad agents through one of the neighboring countries had sneaked into the country while carrying highly explosive bombs. Later, reports emerged that the espionage planned to blow up a sensitive facility in the central Iranian province of Isfahan. This, however, isn't the first time Israel had planned on carrying out acts of terrorism in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Iran's intelligence ministry forces had also captured individuals linked to Mossad in April. The spies were involved in disseminating classified information and documents. In July, Iran arrested another network of agents while they were carrying a large cache of weapons and ammunition with the intentions of provoking riots and terror inside the country.
Earlier in March, Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps foiled yet another Israeli act of terror. The Islamic Revolution Guard Corps said it stopped an imminent Israeli plot to sabotage the Fordow uranium enrichment plant.
Israel has, however, conducted a few terrorist acts against Iran over the past years, namely the murder of top Iranian scientists and army generals and acts of sabotage on nuclear sites. Yet, interestingly enough, the regime continues such atrocities without being held accountable by the international community, and more specifically the U.S., who has supported Israel through its veto power in the United Nations Security Council.
The impunity with which Israel carries out such attacks or in this case, makes such plans, is fully enabled by the United States of America, which at this point I believe should be deemed responsible for the crimes and the destabilization that the apartheid state of Israel engages in. The primary way that the United States enables the crimes and the destabilization of Zionism and the colonialist apartheid state of Israel is through its veto in the United Nations. Since 1972, the United States has vetoed 53 resolutions attempting to hold Israel to account by way of international law.
Israel has been involved in a string of sabotage attacks on Iran's nuclear facilities in recent years and has killed many top nuclear scientists and military officials in cowardly strikes. More recently, on May 22nd, Colonel Hassan Sayyad Khodai was assassinated by two motorcyclists who shot him 5 times before fleeing the scene. He was dismounting his car to enter his home in an eastern neighborhood of the Iranian capital when 3 bullets hit him in the head and 2 bullets in the hand. While Israel has yet to officially comment on the incident or take blame, all reports and facts indicated that it has so far been behind the terrorist activities in Iran. Regarding the Khodai case, American outlet The New York Times cited an intelligence official as saying that Israel has informed American officials that it was behind the assassination. Despite all this, the regime continues its petty attempts of trying to accuse Iran of destabilizing the region.
Israel attacks its neighbors on almost a daily basis, for example, bombing Syria, whereas Iran has not attacked a neighboring country in over 300 years, or almost 300 years. Furthermore, the very well-known international human rights organizations, Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, as well as B'Tselem, the Israeli human rights organization, have deemed Israel to be an apartheid state, which inherently as such destabilizes the region. So there's nothing new here in terms of the Israeli and American narrative, their propaganda regarding Iran. What I do see as new and heartening is the fact that the effectiveness of this narrative is weakening very rapidly.
Israeli atrocities have also garnered fierce response from Iranian officials. The chief commander of the Islamic Revolution Guard Corps has warned that Iran will take a harsh revenge on those who assassinated a member of the force in Tehran.
The commander of the Iranian Army's ground force has warned that Tehran will raise Tel Aviv and Haifa if Israel makes any attempts against Tehran. Brigadier General Qumars Haydari also stated that Israeli-occupied territories will be liberated in less than 25 years. Russia says it might go beyond Donbas, where it once laid the lines of the conflict in Ukraine. The shift was articulated by Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, who said one reason Russia might expand its operation are the longer-range rockets and artillery the US and NATO allies have been funneling to Ukraine.
The geography is different now. It is not only about the DNR and the LNR, but also about the Kherson region, the Zaporizhia region, and a number of other territories, and this process is continuing consistently and persistently.
Lavrov's remarks are the clearest comments that Russia's objectives have expanded over the 5 months of war. Earlier, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said Lavrov's statement confirmed what Washington and its allies had suspected were Russian President Vladimir Putin's objectives all along.
He has stated a number of times that, you know, this is a limited operation focused on the Donbas. His actions have proven otherwise.
The U.S., despite claiming that it knew about Russia's intentions, only seems to be further fueling the war through its support for Kiev. The U.S.'s military assistance has topped $8 billion U.S. dollars, part of a $40 billion aid package. And all this while analysts view diplomacy as the only tangible solution to the ongoing conflict.
The U.S. Empire's strategic aim is to expand NATO eastwards, right up to the borders of the Russian Federation, stage coups where necessary, as in Ukraine in 2014. And in the words of Canada's Deputy Prime Minister, Chrystia Freeland, to vanquish Russia, divide it up and gobble up its component parts, the better to march on to China. It's a hegemonic agenda, and there is no way that the U.S. will tolerate the Ukrainian government having a negotiated peace with Russia. Rather, the plan is that to drag the Russian Federation into a long war.
Washington claims to be supporting Ukraine to defend itself. Officials in Kiev have, however, suggested that Crimea, which the West still recognizes as part of Ukraine, could be a target for U.S.-made missiles recently deployed by Kiev. The remark, however, prompted a fierce response from the former Russian president, warning that an attack on Crimea will ignite a Judgment Day response. The West, led by the U.S., apart from supplying financial aid, has also imposed a wide range of unprecedented sanctions against Moscow in support for Kiev. The bans have targeted individuals, banks, businesses, and state-owned enterprises, including the oil and gas sector.
The U.S. also planned an economic war on Russia by leveling economic sanctions, which are unilateral and illegal, by excluding Russia from the SWIFT transfer system, by stealing its monetary resources stored in Western banks, and by cutting it off from its natural trading partners in Europe.
The economic impact of the war and the sanctions on Russia is showing across the world. Inflation is up in many countries, global supply chains have been disrupted, and there are fears of food shortages. But now, experts fear the situation, especially in Europe, could further deteriorate as the continent struggles to find middle grounds on solutions to the current uncertainties.
But the U.S. sanctions backfired on the West, especially on Europe, where Europe took the brunt of the energy cutbacks. And it caused the U.S. war caused an inflationary crisis for the entire world.
All this has also led to indications of fatigue settling in the EU. The Hungarian Prime Minister has so far been the most vocal about his concerns regarding the bloc's strategies on Ukraine.
West's strategy on Ukraine has failed as governments in Europe are collapsing like dominoes. Energy prices have surged. A new strategy is needed, which should focus on peace talks and drafting a good peace proposal instead of winning the war.
But despite the heavy costs incurred by Europeans, the bloc's leaders seem to have set their eyes on continuing their way. While standards of living in many countries have already deteriorated drastically in light of decisions made by policymakers, problems may further worsen in the future. The International Energy Agency has even warned that a potentially disastrous natural gas supply crunch this winter awaits Europe, mainly due to the possibility of Russia cutting off gas supplies completely.
U.S. President Joe Biden just visited the West Asia to promote Washington's agenda in that region. Apart from encouraging Washington's Arab allies to pump more oil into the market to bring down rising energy prices, Biden, on behalf of the Israeli regime, was trying to form a coalition against Iran. But the much-publicized event failed to garner support from the United States' Arab allies. Now, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani says the latest plot in the West Asia region failed because the regional countries do not trust Washington. Kanani also said Iran considers the security of its neighbors as its own security.
The Saudis are recognizing the U.S. is in decline, and Joe Biden is the symbol of America's decline, mentally, politically, socially, religiously. And they have embarked on a different geopolitical, economic, military agenda, and that is to unite with the BRICS nations and seek their political destiny elsewhere than within the United States. So I think Joe Biden's trip was a absolute failure. It didn't accomplish anything, and we knew it wouldn't accomplish anything.
Just the day before the summit between Biden and the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council countries, plus Egypt, Jordan and Iraq, Mustafa al-Kadhimi, the Prime Minister of Iraq, said Baghdad will not be part of any camp or military alliance. He also said, quote, Iraq will not be a base for threatening any neighboring countries. The UAE, which is a close ally of both Saudi Arabia and the US, also dismissed the idea of forming an anti-Iran NATO-like military alliance. We are open to cooperation, but not cooperation targeting any other country in the region, and I specifically mention Iran. Such comments show that Biden, who has practically followed the anti-Iran policies of his predecessor Donald Trump, failed to achieve his stated objective of forming a military alliance against Tehran.
So this entire trip of Joe Biden's was a futile effort, wasted effort, and I think it only depreciated America in the eyes of other nations. And for that reason, other nations are seeking political alliances elsewhere, in other global institutions, such as the BRICS nations and the Chinese Belt and Road Initiative and other things.
Iran's foreign ministry spokesman also dismissed the recent Israeli threats against the Islamic Republic as psychological warfare. Nasser Kanani says the Tel Aviv regime has neither the courage nor the capability to confront Iran militarily. He also vowed that Tehran would give a decisive and destructive response to any Israeli aggression. Iran's response to any idiocy committed by the Zionist regime would be destructive.
Not only is the United States incapable of any military conflict, but Israel is also incapable of any military conflict. And Israel is incapacitated, yet they are putting on an aura of functionality, an aura of threats. But at the heart, Israel has no capacity to wage a conflict against Iran. This is all bluff, and this trip confirms it.
Kanani's comments come in response to threats made by Israeli Army Chief Aviv Kohavi. The Israeli general has said, quote, it's Israel's moral obligation to prepare a military response against Iran's nuclear program. He also added that such preparations for such a strike are at the center of the military's program. Kohavi's warmongering rhetoric against the Islamic Republic comes despite Iran's insistence that it's not seeking to develop nuclear weapons. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, has issued a religious decree against weapons of mass destruction. And just recently, Kamal Kharazi, the head of Iran's Strategic Council on Foreign Relations, rejected allegations that Iran seeks nuclear weapons. He said Iran has the technical capability to go beyond the current 60% uranium enrichment level, but it will not go that path. It's an open secret that Israel is the sole possessor of nuclear weapons in the region and has hundreds of warheads. The regime's officials have constantly threatened Iran with strikes on its nuclear facilities. The regime is responsible for the murder of a number of Iran's nuclear scientists. It has also carried out sabotage attacks against Iran's nuclear facilities. And its latest threats against Iran are just meant to shore up its crumbling hegemonic position.
As the crisis in Ukraine lingers on, the United States and its allies appear to run out of measures to halt Russia. They have imposed various sanctions on Moscow. Russia's energy, banking, and financial sectors have been targeted by the West. But the punitive measures do not appear to have the intended results. Now, the United States is proposing the idea of putting a price cap on Russia's oil.
Yeah, I mean, this is more suicidal stuff from the West. I mean, one thing which this Western-centric, this US-centric, European-centric view of themselves as being indispensable parts of the world, I think is the main problem here, because they view themselves as the center of the universe, so to speak, in everything, in politics, economics, etc. However, they fail to understand that the world is rapidly changing.
The West is trying to limit the price of Russia's oil in order to deprive the country from the money it needs to run the war. The goal is said to be to set the price at a level that covers the marginal cost of production so that Russia would be encouraged to keep producing oil. The idea, which was first proposed by Washington, was agreed upon at the G7 summit back in June. Western countries plan to allow only those raw material and oil products whose value does not exceed the price cap. In reaction to the proposed idea, Russia has threatened that it would not export oil to the world market if a price cap is imposed. If these prices, which they are talking about, are lower than the costs for oil production, naturally, Russia will not ensure the supply of this oil to the world market, which means that we simply will not work at a negative profit. It's not yet clear whether Western nations have the capability to implement such a plan, but there are already warnings that this scheme may actually backfire. Russia's president says the price cap would further propel global oil prices, and Security Council Deputy Chairman Dmitry Medvedev has warned that oil would be traded between $300 to $400 per barrel if the West goes through with the plan.
The European markets and the US markets are not the prime markets for Russian energy supplies. The prime markets are now Asia, and so they are out of step with what is happening in the world. And what this will do will exacerbate, as you noted, an already rather tenuous energy crisis, which is caused by, on the one hand, shortages of energy supplies, and on the other hand, costs of energy supplies. Because to cap it, who's going to sell it to the West under the production cost? No one, especially when the West treats them the way that they are treating them. So, I mean, it's going to be another shot in the foot for the US and its vassal and client states.
Some analysts are predicting that the scenario would be catastrophic for the US and the other group of seven countries. Market watchers have predicted that China and India, two key players in the Asia region, may not cooperate with the price cap. Western sanctions on Russia have already failed to deprive the country from its revenues. They have actually increased the money Moscow makes from its energy exports. Oil prices climbed to 14-year highs shortly after the war began on February 24. They remain above $100 per barrel. According to other analysts, history shows that such attempts end in failure. The US tried to fix prices for oil in the 1970s, and the UK tried to set the forex prices in the 80s. All those attempts failed, and the prices boomed after those debacles.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. So, respected brothers and sisters, welcome back. Assalamu alaikum one more time. So, we'll continue Surah At-Tariq, page 591, and practicing and applying the rules of Tanween and Nun Sakin.
Yeah.
القلب في القرآن سعادتنا مدى الأزمان وفيه الخير للإنسان ويطوي عثرة المجروح ويطوي عثرة المجروح.
Make sure you have the Quran with you, okay? Surah At-Tariq. We practiced up to Ayah 4, but we will recite it again from the first Ayah. We'll continue.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
والسماء والطارق.
والسماء والطارق.
وما أدراك ما الطارق.
وما أدراك ما الطارق.
النجم الثاقب.
النجم الثاقب.
إن كل نفس لما عليها حافظ.
إن كل نفس لما عليها حافظ.
فلينظر الإنسان مما خلق.
فلينظر الإنسان مما خلق.
مما خلق.
It is actually مما خلق, okay? But ميم, مما. I told you one day, I think. Whenever ma comes with min, an, ba, like this, okay? The alif is omitted, okay?
Yes.
Min ma khuliq.
Sacrifice.
Min ayy shayin, it means from what he has been created, okay? So, min ma actually it is, but mimma, idgham is here. Min ma, nun sakin plus mim, idgham. With guna or without?
With guna.
So, with guna, you have to apply the
rule. Idgham is so powerful.
Powerful one, yes.
فلينظر الإنسان مما خلق.
فلينظر الإنسان مما خلق.
أحسن. Do not stretch the sound of ما. ما خلق. No. ما خلق. So if it was ما, so what? Yeah, it was written that way.
Yeah.
So فلين من ساكن بلا الله. The rule.
إخفاء.
إخفاء. But with heavy letter, yeah,
yes.
Now with heavy letter.
Yes.
فلينظر next one, insan. I told you this ayah.
Yes.
The other ayah, إلى طعامه, it was the other ayah. Okay? Insan. إخفاء.
Light.
Light sound. Okay, good, good. فلينظر
الإنسان مما خلق.
فلينظر الإنسان مما خلق.
خلق من ماء دافق.
خلق من ماء دافق.
أحسن. من ماء دافق. إخفاء. دافق here, okay. ماء إخفاء with light غنة, yes.
Yes.
يخرج من بين الصلب والترائب.
يخرج من بين الصلب والترائب.
أحسن. من بين, the letter by is there.
إقلاب.
إقلاب. من بين. Noon is skipped. A half meme is there. Okay. Your lips must be open a little. Okay. A little space between your lips and. Continue reciting.
يخرج من بين الصلب والترائب.
يخرج من بين الصلب والترائب.
حسين رحمه الله, make sure your lips, okay, do not kind of touch each other a lot, okay? I mean, do not close your mouth. Look. For example, you put a tissue, okay, inside, yes, your lips, between your lips. It's not complete meme. Yeah, yeah. The way Fawad says, okay, this way. Okay?
Yes.
Pull your lips, okay? Your, what do you say this? Chins, yeah? Okay.
Chinnies.
Wow.
Cheeks.
Cheeks. Okay. Pull your cheeks. Sorry, I said chin. Okay. So everyone has one chin. So, chin is called China, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, China. In English, we say chin, yes? In Arabic, we say?
Fine.
Seen.
Seen. أطلب العلم ولو بالصين, yes?
Yes. Yes.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا
إنه على رجعه لقادر
إنه على رجعه لقادر.
Why don't you apply the rule تفخيم with the letter ra? Rajihi.
Innahu ala rajihi laqadir.
Innahu ala rajihi laqadir.
There are no. That one is tarqiq. Because a kasra sound is before ra. So the first one is ra.
راجعه لقادر
راجعه
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 the letter ra ra rabbit
yeah
ra ra rabbit
ra
do not say rabbit rabbit no rabbit rabbit ra rabbit
إنه على رجعه لقادر
إنه على رجعه لقادر
دير
دير
one more time
إنه على رجعه لقادر
إنه على رجعه لقادر
أحسن يوم تبلى السرائر again
يوم تبلى السرائر
it's difficult right يوم Tub lassarair. Ra'ir.
Yes.
Yawma tub lassarair.
Yawma tub lassarair.
Oh, when the secret, the day, one of the names of the day of Qiyamah is Yawma tub lassarair.
Sir?
The day when the secrets will be kind of
okay.
Revealed and it will be clear for everyone.
So we didn't stretch the sound of sarair.
Sarair. Right, mashallah. There is a mad, yeah. Sorry, I forgot it. So, let me repeat it. Mashallah. Thanks, Fawad Haider. Let's recite a salawat for Fawad Haider.
Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad
wa ali Muhammad.
Dedicated to Fawad. Okay.
Yawma tubla sarair.
Yawma tubla sarair.
فما له من قوة ولا ناصر
فما له من قوة ولا ناصر
and then he doesn't have human being okay when the secrets are like there okay clear to him and Allah Almighty shows him that yeah it was you okay
then
there will be no power for him no help someone
in front
to help
of everybody
him. No it will be revealed for only it will be shown to you okay فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهْ يَرَى means only that person يَرَى it's singular verb okay not يَرَوْن for example all the people know وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهْ okay so
وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ
والسماء ذات الرجع
والأرض ذات الصدع
والأرض ذات الصدع
This is difficult. Why? Because ضاد and ذال two different pronunciations. Yeah.
Yes.
والأرض
Uh-huh. وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدْعِ.
وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدْعِ.
Some students, because it's difficult, okay, they do not pronounce the pronunciation of dhal. وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدْعِ.
Yes.
Do it.
وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدْعِ.
It's difficult to change the pronunciations. Yeah?
Yes.
وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدْعِ.
وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ. وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ. Quickly bring your tongue back down.
Like this. وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ.
Yeah. وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدْعِ. This way, yeah. Okay, let's recite it one more time. وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدْعِ.
وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدْعِ.
إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ.
إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ.
إِخْفَاء. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ.
إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ.
وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ.
وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ.
إنهم يكيدون كيدا.
إنهم يكيدون كيدا.
وأكيد كيدا.
وأكيد كيدا.
فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا.
فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا.
أحسن ما شاء الله.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسن ما شاء الله. Thank you so much. Stay with us inshallah. See you inshallah in the coming sessions. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sever International Schools Network. Thanks to Hussein Ruhullah, Ali Nasser, Fawad Haider, me and you, all of you, okay? See you inshallah in the coming sessions. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد واجعل فرج.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.